Hello, listeners and viewers. My name is Lisa Lines, and I'm happy to welcome you to the May edition of the Healthy Intersections podcast, sponsored by the Medical Care Section and American Public Health Association and the Medical Care Journal. And we are hosted on the Medical Care blog. So we are a nonprofit, academic, public health and medical focused podcast. And if you're joining us for the first time, please subscribe and you'll get a notification when we have new podcast episodes. You can subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcasts, so Amazon or Apple or Spotify, or just sign up on our blog. You can put in your email address so you'll get an email whenever we have a new blog post and a new podcast episode. So my special guest today is again Carol Schmidt, Chief Scientist at RTI International. Welcome, Carol.
Hi, Lisa.
Thanks for joining us today. And let me just say, we're going to be turning our attention to another interactive map today, and that is of Oklahoma. The name actually comes from two Choctaw words, Okla meaning people and Hama meaning red. So this was originally Indian territory. Between 1830 and 1850, the eastern, quote-unquote, civilized tribes of the southeast, Florida, Georgia, those tribes, the Cherokee, the Choctaw, the Seminoles, they were evicted from their land and forced to march to what was then called Indian Territory. And Carol, what else can you tell us about sort of what you know about Oklahoma?
Hey, back around 2015, we worked with Robert Wood Johnson Foundation to characterize 30 Sentinel communities in the country around their progress towards creating a culture of health. And Oklahoma was one of those 30 communities. Within Oklahoma, we were originally slated to look at the Chickasaw Nation too. We did some initial studies and talks with them, but those of you who know about working with Native American tribes know it's really difficult to get permissions and things, and we never really did get permissions. So what I know from that has to do with the initial contact we had with them. The state's really interesting. They're highly, highly reliant for state funding on the extraction industry. And so that they have a really unstable state funding, because when there's lots of, you know, when prices of oil are high, they do well. When prices are low, they don't do so well. Unlike a lot of tribes, in Oklahoma, there aren't necessarily reservations. It's more like the tribal nations have a relationship with the state, but they serve their members. And a lot of what goes on in Oklahoma for the Chickasaw Nation, the Cherokee Nation, it's all in kind of that southern part of the state that's really rural. And when Lisa and I were first talking, what I expected to see was areas of those counties that have a lot of members of the Chickasaw Nation would have higher employment rates, because the nation does a really nice job of building businesses and employing tribal members. And I also expected to see significantly lower on insurance rates, because they also provide strong healthcare services to their members. It's sort of difficult to look at it now, because in spring of 2021, Oklahoma finally took the Medicaid expansion under Obamacare, and their uninsured rate, which is about 14-15%, went down to less than 10%. So that's kind of, you know, a little mix in there. But as Lisa and I were looking at these social inequity indices, we found something else. So Lisa, with that, go ahead and start on the map.
Great. Let me go ahead and share my screen. So this is another one of our RTI Rarity interactive state maps. And I will put the link in the notes. And so this is publicly available. You can at home go and look at this map. And just a couple of notes as we're zoomed out to the whole state right now. As you can see, we have some heavy black lines around certain areas. Those are the second and fourth congressional districts, because we had an opportunity to speak to some folks in those offices. So we wanted to highlight those congressional districts to show partly that, you know, there's a lot of variation within districts, and these scores are helpful in identifying places where a district might want to put extra resources. The LSI score, local social inequity score, is a 0 to 1 percentile ranked score. And here we're looking at within state scores, and they're actually based around life expectancy, which is, you know, a core public health outcome that we use to compare areas in terms of how well people are doing sort of overall as a summary health measure, core public health measure. So the local social inequity score, this base model that we're showing you the scores for here is, you know, local social inequity in life expectancy based on the social and behavioral determinants of health. So as you click on various areas on the map, you can actually zoom in. And so we'll do that now and maybe zoom into Tulsa. I've got some family living in Tulsa, been there once or twice. And, you know, it's an interesting picture because you can see quite starkly across the city places that are, you know, doing pretty well and places that are really not doing too well right next to each other. For example, right here, we have this tract is the bright yellow is higher risk of shorter life expectancy, essentially, based on the social determinants of health. And we've listed out a few of the factors that, you know, may be driving some of this. For example, you know, you can see here in this tract that I've highlighted, it's got one of the higher LSI scores in the state. And then this other tract right next to it, bordering it, has one of the lowest LSI scores in the state. And when we click on these two tracts next to each other, we can see really big differences in terms of, you know, the percent of Black and Hispanic populations in the tract. The life expectancy is quite high, 81 years on average. It's a very low poverty rate and a very low unemployed rate, a very low uninsured rate, and a low sedentary lifestyle rate. So this is a pretty healthy area in Tulsa. And then right next door, if we look at, you know, the life expectancy, it's quite a bit shorter. It's shorter than average across the U.S. Quite a bit more people of color and very high poverty, very high smoking, pretty high unemployment rate, you know, triple the state average, and then very high uninsured and physically inactive or sedentary population. So, you know, it's really quite remarkable to see communities with, you know, these tracts having an average of around 4,000 people in them. So, you know, really quite small neighborhood level areas, and they're just so different track to track. I mean, I live in a place where things can change block to block. So, you know, in Los Angeles County, you know, so, you know, we see this in our communities, and it's just a really good way to sort of summarize the picture when you can sort of look and drill down and look at some of these differences. And I do want to say, if you are in Oklahoma and you need help, if you need help with, you know, getting insurance or, you know, need help with shelter, you know, we've got some links down here at the bottom where you can click and put in your zip code and get a list of every resource that's available in your area.
Yeah, and, you know, it's sort of shocking in that high social inequity score tract is a smoking rate almost 30%. Lisa lives in California, where the smoking rate is probably something like 8%. And I live in Colorado, where I'm pretty sure it's below 10%. So you're talking three times. I know it varies widely from state to state, but I mean, that's even higher than the state average, which I'm sure is, you know, in the high teens.
And, you know, when you think about the state as a whole, you look at the summary health statistics of the state as a whole, you know, across the state, there are high rates of obesity and overweight. There are high rates of, you know, the associated things that kill you, like heart disease and stroke and cancer. There are high rates of diabetes as well, which we know comes along with a ton of horrible kinds of things that happen when you have untreated, undiagnosed diabetes. So in these pockets where you've got really high you know, high rates of chronic illness and low rates of insurance coverage, you know, how many of those people even know necessarily that they have high blood sugar? It's a real potential avenue for, you know, the healthcare system to put some resources in those areas, send some mobile clinics to screen for blood sugar and HbA1c and just to try to put more resources where they are needed.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe, you know, when the Medicaid expansion has more time to take effect, we might see things improve in Oklahoma, in some of these places, in the longer run. I don't mean to make it sound like a horrible place.
No,
because there's some lovely. I mean, Tulsa's gorgeous.
true story. It's not all doom and gloom. These communities do have a lot of, like you were talking about. I mean, you know, some of these nations have done a really good job of you know, kind of reaching out. And I think, you know, I have a friend who is a Native American activist, and she told me that she tells people in her community that the most important things they can do is avoid white sugar and white flour. And, you know, these are the things that, you know, when you have a busy family and you know, maybe don't have access to the best, you know, healthy food choices, it's really, those things really do kind of accumulate across the life course, those kinds of the stress of that situation of, you know, kind of always being too busy, too stressed, you know, and you mentioned the extraction industry. I think it's interesting, you know, Oklahoma City is the only state capital that has a working oil well at the Capitol. So, you know, that points to really, you know, a couple of things, I think. The importance, like you said, of the industry to the state, but also when you think about, you know, the land that these oil wells are on, you know, but like I mentioned, I live in LA County and there are oil wells in public parks here. Mm-hmm. And, it, you know, the pollution associated with those oil wells is nothing to be, you know, kind of sneezed at, because it really is a factor in how healthy your air, your water, and your soil is.
And remember when we were looking outside of the Houston area, Lisa, you know, one of the big predictors of cancer death was the air pollution in those areas right around Houston. You know, there, people's houses back up to refineries.
Yeah, and there, you know, there's refinery across the street from a playground here, mm-hmm. where I live. Yeah, it's really kind of mind-blowing. So let's talk about some of the rural areas, too. Oh, sorry, what were you going to say?
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, it is really interesting, you know, the states, how they regulate where you can put oil wells. And I don't, off the top of my head, know what it is in Oklahoma, but it would be worth taking a quick look at.
So we were going to talk about some of the more rural areas, Love County. So here we have, you know, top 20% in terms of risk of a shorter life expectancy, and, you know, quite a bit lower life expectancy than is average. Very high percent for Hispanic. We don't actually have, unfortunately, in this drill down, the percent Native American. Do know we can look at other maps and tell us. And you know, I think the Hispanic population, a lot of folks are working in the extraction industries and also in meatpacking, farming industries. So what tell us about Love County?
Oh, Love County is down there in Chickasaw Nation area. And like I said, they don't have really a defined reservation per se, but they are served by the Chickasaw Nation. And so you can see that the unemployment rate is pretty, this is the state average. It pretty much sticks around 3%. The percent uninsured, you know, like I said before, the Medicaid expansions, it was about 14-15%. But, you know, I'm struck by, you know, 22.5% of people are in poverty. Again, it's high non-white area, lower life expectancy, smoking prevalence rate that's really high, even for the state, a lot of physically inactive people. And this it looks similar to Tulsa. I mean, we tend to talk about rural problems, which are different from city problems. But at the end of the day, what we're seeing here is that these areas that where people are dying before they should die are characterized by high percentages of non-white people and high poverty levels. And it, you know, fundamentally it's unfair. It suggests that that something is happening there. Are they being exposed to something? Are there state policies that omit them? You know, we'd have to take a closer look at this, like, you know, we like to do with really mixed method stuff. But I had expected to see maybe a little bit better profile in this part of the state, only because the high number of Native American tribes and the extent to which I was really impressed that when we were looking at the Chickasaw Nation, how aware they were of the need to build businesses and how aware they were of the need to build medical care and provide medical care that incorporated tribal values and cultural traditions.
The other part of Love County that's doing pretty well, you know, still has a pretty high smoking prevalence rate, but, and, you know, about a third sedentary, but, you know, very low unemployment and you know, half the poverty rate of the other area there. So it's, you know, I think there's always a lot going on, even within a single county, and that's why these census tract level scores are so helpful in helping us kind of dig down a little bit deeper and below the surface. You know, you can say, oh, Oklahoma has a high rate of this or that across the state, but as you can see, when you zoom in, and there's a real patchwork. You know, there's a real, over here in this county where Will Rogers was born, you know, life expectancy is 79. You know, and I mean, if there's one thing that the healthcare system, you know, really ought to be prioritizing, it's trying to ensure that no matter where you live, you have the same opportunities as everyone else to, you know, attain a long and healthy life.
I like that you focus on life expectancy, because for me, that's always a story about, you know, I did hospice care for a while, and, you know, people who die in their 50s and 60s, early 70s, are people who, you know, they may have worked really hard. They've been saving for retirement. They're just starting to get grandchildren, and they're really feeling like all the work they put in across their lifespan is coming to fruition. And then they die and they miss it all after having worked a long life. And it seems to me so fundamentally unfair in such a rich country that happens. Whereas other people, we have a colleague whose mother is turning 102 or 103, and she lives in an area mm-hmm. of Florida that has high life expectancy. It's really, I'm going to go on my bandwagon, but fundamentally unfair.
Yes, agreed. And I think when we talk about health equity, you know, we have to really, before we can make a lot more progress, we really all have to just get on the same page that health equity is a thing that we all think is important, that we all want to try to, to promote.
Yeah, I did notice that when you sent me what the predictors of life expectancy were in Oklahoma, were among the top 10, drought was one of them.
Yes.
And most people know, in the Midwest, we are facing a huge extended drought. And that finding does not bode well for the future I don't know why, you know, what's behind that factor being predictive, but it's something that we should probably look at the why of.
If I had to guess, you know, if drought is turning some farms fallow, then those farm workers are out of work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that affects the whole family. So Oklahoma has pretty high rates of maternal mortality and infant mortality as well. And, you know, that points to uninsurance as, you know, as a potential really important thing, because, the thing about it is, you know, even before Medicaid expansion, if you were a pregnant woman or a mom-to-be, you could sign up for Medicaid and, you know, the birth would be covered by Medicaid, prenatal care would be covered by Medicaid. So, but the barriers to signing up are something that, you know, we talked about this before. You know, if you don't have access to a working computer with broadband and the know-how to actually go to find the site where you need to sign up and the documentation that you need to prove your status and all these other things, I mean, there's big gaps in that so-called safety net. Thank you so much, Carol, for talking with me today about Oklahoma. It was wonderful to get your thoughts about, you know, how these scores could be helpful in looking at situations in the state and communities in the state and figuring out how to target resources where they might be needed, but also just the stories behind the data. It's always really important. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Lisa.